This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to week 13 of the Riot Act Rugby Review podcast. We're here in Riot Act, the Riot Act bunker, sitting beside our lovely little black box of a server as we bring you tonight's review. I'm Rob. We have John.
Hello.
And Tim.
So this was the round all gods died, huh?
This is the round things started to change, and I'm starting to figure out what numbers we needed to get a Brumbies home grand final. That's how confident I am. Anyway.
Well, it's not
a home final is suddenly possible.
It is possible.
We were thinking fourth place would be fortunate.
Yes.
In this round.
Yeah, well, anyway, well, these are but dreams, but we'll see where
I think at the top, all the top four teams are now reassessing
where
they're going to finish up. And
yep.
You know, those bonus points we said earlier in the season were going to make such a difference really come into play now. And I think even the Bulls would fancy their chances of possibly slipping into the top four as well. Yeah.
Top four, I think the Bulls are out of home final contention,
but they certainly have a good chance of actually of coming through.
Yeah, but to come through, they have to beat the Crusaders, and that's what then opens everything up for the rest of the...
That's right.
All right, the week that was, the first game of the round, pretty boring and wet one, the Waratahs 20 versus the Highlanders 3.
Boring but interesting.
Yeah, the Waratahs didn't have much of the ball, but they're the only ones that actually got over the line.
Yeah, and they didn't did anything with it when they had it. Their scrum got really fucked over once Anton Oliver figured out how the ref was interpreting the game, though. It was really noticeable. He had a conversation with the ref. The ref said, "You're popping them out." And Anton said, "What, you want me to hold them down?" And the ref shrugged his shoulders. And from then on, they held them down and stopped them popping out and skated them back miles.
I think this was... The Highlanders would have gone into this game thinking that they could really compete up front. It's a traditional Highlanders game, and particularly in the cold and wet of Dunedin, you know, that's the game they're always going
to
play.
It was atrocious conditions, to be fair, to both sides.
We watched the game on Friday night and looked at the pitch, and we thought it was, you know, just the smoke from fireworks or something still running across the ground. But it was the rain and very wet and slippery conditions for all of them. It's one thing to compete up front, but the Highlanders really lacked that midfield penetration that the Waratahs had enabled the Waratahs to score tries and come on top.
The Highlanders did nothing with the ball in possession.
They ran it forward and got nowhere.
There was one phase, I think they went through 15 phases on the Waratahs line, just thumping it through the forwards. Then they flung it out to their fly half, who'd just run onto the pitch and he coughed the ball up. But by that time, especially in those conditions, you leave your back standing around doing nothing for that period of time. You can't expect them to catch and pass when they finally do get it either.
Yeah, I think this is where the Waratahs played a much better game. Peter Hewitt's kicking game in this one was exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
And they really kept pushing the Waratahs back in their own half, you know, and played that defensive game that Waratahs have been able to play all season.
Yep.
And just forcing their opponents into mistakes.
Do you think it's telling that the best pick from the Waratahs back three to make the Wallabies is the one non-leaguey?
Maybe. That's a whole other issue. But yeah. Hewitt played well last season. He's played very well again this season and certainly be in the sights of the Wallabies selectors.
Yep.
Along with Vickerman, who took control of the line-outs.
Oh, look, I think we're going to see a Sky Blue Wallaby selection, and if they win the title, I don't think anyone can contest that. If the competition's still got a ways to go, and there's a lot of form still to be decided. But there are going to be a lot of Waratahs in the Wallabies.
There's no question. I was watching Rugby Heaven from last week's episode today while I was lying on my couch feeling sorry for myself. I think from a selector's point of view, it's one thing to go, there's some great players in the Reds and the Force, but it's very hard to overlook the form of players who are in winning teams.
Let's look at the Waratahs. They spent most of the game being kept in their own half, and yet they only gave away one kickable penalty.
Yeah, I think
that's pretty disciplined play. That's been the
standout of their play all season.
I looked at the stats, and I think the Waratahs made 150 tackles to something like 30.
Mm.
Okay, so they were on their defensive line the whole game.
Mm.
And, you know, to only give away one tackle, that spells volumes for the way they've been coached this season.
It does, but it's also something the All Blacks have been showing for the last few seasons, is that when you score a try, you give away possession. So a try, in terms of possession stats, counts as a turnover. If you've only got the ball 30% of the game, that's not a problem if you score a try every time you get the ball.
That's right.
And if you score a try every time you get the ball, you probably are going to only end up with 30% of the possession stats for the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the way your defence has to, you know, reign supreme, and the Waratahs' defence has been textbook.
Yeah, but disciplined not only in keeping out the opposition, but also in not giving away any penalties. Yeah. And it's very impressive. You can't argue with it.
Bastards.
I think it's going to take them far. And I think the Waratahs, I mean, they've got two games coming up that they should win. And they're really in contention for a home semi-final, possibly a home grand final.
I was actually hoping... Well, they've got to win the semi.
They do have to win the semi, granted. But I think, you know, they're more impressive.
I'm sure we can rely on Dunning or Whittaker to give away any chance they have of having a home grand final.
That's why Dunning's on the bench.
The Dunning factor might still be significant.
But that's why they're sitting on the bench. But
they're still on the bench. He's still on the bench.
Everyone else.
Whittaker still claiming his decision last year to not go for the bonus point. It was a good decision. Well, I'm saying it's not.
So, well, like, I think they've learned from that experience, and they're a far more mature side this year.
Yeah.
And I still don't reckon they'll get a home run.
Anyway, moving on and through the results.
Cats 34, Western Force
34. 34, bloody Force.
I don't feel that sorry for the Cowboys. And
The Cowboys. The way they're playing their corporate game is interesting, but we'll get to that later on.
Yeah.
Like the Force were, you know, should have won this one again, and let a try into Wiley Human right at the death. They were lucky that Pretoria's couldn't kick straight and snatch the victory after full time with the conversion. But you know, 34 all, who would have picked two draws in 2 weeks in a row for them? I mean, this was
no one picked the draw against the Crusaders.
Look, this was a game they expected to win. I mean, the Cats have been dismal, absolutely dismal, whereas the Force have actually shown some
purpose
promise
points,
and purpose in their play.
Yeah,
and particularly last week,
where
you know we all agree they were robbed. Mm. But to come away with a 34-all draw
against the Cats, in Johannesburg, to be fair,
I mean the Cats probably, you know, were probably thinking the same. This was a game that they could win.
Yeah,
you know, they did win one.
And what we basically proved is they're both wrong.
they're both wrong, and they've both got a lot of work to do.
Neither of these teams can actually win a game, even when playing each other.
The Force will win games next season. I mean, Gitto, Purchase aside, and all those other sorts of issues.
Gitto will fire their backs, and they've got the forwards, so...
Yeah, they'll win games this season. They've learned a lot from this year. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's still a chance to win a game this year.
All right, just while we're on the being bought out, we've also got Radiki Samo supposedly going across, and Johnny Tawaki's.
Also saying they're confident of that one, but you got mail on that, do you?
Yeah.
Johnny's
going.
I don't think Tawaki or Samo are going to be huge losses to the Brumbies. Tawaki was really good at the start of the season, fell off, hasn't had much game time since. Fisher's obviously lost confidence in him as a starter.
He's broke his hand. That's why he hasn't been on the pitch.
He was swapped out for Salvi even before he broke his hand.
He was getting subbed off late in the game, but look, Wallace Harrison has really stood up and said, I'm having this number 8 jersey, it's mine.
If he's going to make the pack, then that's where he's playing it, and he's doing well. And they've come out with a good... Well, anyway, we'll get to the game.
I don't think Summer's going to start for the Force either, though.
No, I think he'll be off the bench as a utility player.
Yeah. All right.
You know, second row,
possibly on the
blind side.
Hurricanes 35 beat the Chiefs 10 in Wellington. Well,
bright lights did for the Chiefs.
Yeah. They're never really in it.
No, look...
Hurricanes are obviously hurting from that Brumbies game as well.
They were. I mean, they had
Hurricanes made sure that their pack was pushing hard.
It was. I mean, the Hurricanes have a look on paper across the park. Hurricanes have a better team, with the possible exception of the back
Gibbs.
Three. Johnny Gibbs is out.
Oh, okay.
There they go. And the Chiefs were hit with a couple of key injuries before the match, which would have disrupted their preparation, but. You know, look, Andrew Hall scored three tries. I mean, how often do you see a hooker scoring three tries in a match? So
JP does every once in a while.
That's got to...
I don't know about a hat-trick.
JP has scored a hat-trick of tries in a match.
But he has.
No, I think he has one.
One?
Yeah.
Okay, good on you, JP. I apologise. but look, this just says that the Hurricanes pack just crushed them. And while they were doing that, why not keep the ball in hand in your forwards and just roll over your opposition? You don't need to use your back line.
Yeah.
And... You know,
on the other hand, when you got Umaga and Nonu standing
You like to, but you know they didn't need to, yeah. And probably Umaga and Nonu, you know, played the defensive game that they're very good at as well.
Yep. Okay, then. Anything else you want to say on that game?
No, not particularly.
Less said the better. We're going to go for a song.
Chiefs have fallen off the pace. Hurricanes looking strong again.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
All right, we're going to go for a song, and we'll be back in a minute with the match of the round for an ACT rugby supporter.
Was Mannequin by Cats and Jammers.
Uh-huh.
Right, moving on. Brumbies.
36.
Reds Zip.
Reds Zip, first Red time Zip. Ever.
This is the first time Reds have never scored a point.
Well, in Super Rugby. It's happened somewhere in their provincial career.
Probably has, but certainly never scored a point. Also, another sort of blowout, Brumbies Reds game. I heard that the average Brumbies winning margin against the Reds is 19 points. Mm. It's just extended that a little bit more.
It has, and bear in mind that the Brumbies had emptied the bench by midway through the second half and had taken off a lot of key players at half time.
Oh, with the exception of Samo, who kept coming up, running on.
Samo, how many times did Samo manage to get on that?
He ran on four times, and each time he got a cheer.
Well, the crowd loves Samo for that Fat Crusaders grand final where he single-handedly annihilated the Crusaders.
Yes, Dan Carter probably doesn't like Samo.
Yeah. So, some players have that one moment in their life where they stand up and achieve greatness, and Samo's time has passed.
Yeah, that's why he's going to the force.
Many other players whose time has passed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Look, this was a pretty clinical performance by the Brumbies, you know, and particularly defensively. Which is an area that Brumbies haven't been as strong at in the past.
Having said that, did the Reds win a single line out?
Yep. threw it in to their own players, as in not straight, and didn't actually get called up on it, then they got the ball.
Yeah, but it was very rare. They lost a lot.
Every time they tried to throw it in straight.
And their whole game plan was built around forcing line out throws.
Yeah, disrupting the Brumbies set piece. And they just didn't do it. They didn't go to send into the line out. They didn't go to send into the pack, which really surprised me.
I think it surprised everybody is that the pack did nothing.
Their scrum was good early on in the first 10 minutes.
It was tight, but it didn't go in the ascendancy that it was expected to.
No.
From the form that they've been showing. Bill didn't come on until later, but the form that they've been showing through the last couple of games has been, the pack has been pretty good, but suddenly they were nowhere. And the comment I made on the night was the only thing Scruffy Latham made, only contribution to the game he made, was trying to charge down the kicks of goal. I didn't see him do anything else.
We didn't see from the 5th minute to the 75th minute, the Reds' back line did not get the ball.
That's because they kept on dropping it in the centres.
Yeah. But it
could have been Steve Kefu, late replacement for Huxley. Was out, Steve Kefu coming in. First game this season for the Reds, and he was only picked on the bench originally.
Yeah.
But sort of thrust into the starting lineup with Huxley going out, late replacement.
Yeah. But I remember thinking, we haven't seen the ball go to the Reds' backs. They've got good backs. They've got Drew Mitchell standing out there. They've got Chris Latham standing out there.
It was interesting, I noted that...
They didn't get much ball.
The Brumbies, when they did attack, they didn't attack Dan Mitchell's wing. And I wonder if that was a deliberate point to keep him out of the game.
But that would have been Boner's wing, wasn't it? Boner doesn't get a lot of ball these days.
Yeah. Boner's got no ball, and the ball's got ball. King's having to swing to Gerard in case he wants to kick it, as long as Bernie's out and because he's Gitt's got a bung knee, so he's the kicker. So they keep swinging it to his wing. He then gets the ball and says, "Do I want to run or do I want to kick?" Either option works very well for the Brumbies.
again, Gerard was the go-to man.
Yeah, Gerard, and it's odd having the go-to man being out on the wing. It's not a traditional rugby alignment. I think when other teams think a little more about how to negate it, it could bite us. But with Gerard as the go-to man, the ball's getting out wide a lot more than it would otherwise.
Well, I think something else that Rob noted on the weekend, we hope there's no sort of Highlanders or Crusaders fans listening.
Unlikely.
George Smith has been going to number 8 on the offensive scrums.
Yep.
Picking the ball up at the back of the line out, giving a bit of width to Gregan, who's running wide.
Sorry, back of the scrum or the back of the line?
Back of the scrum. He's been playing number 8.
So the offensive scrum, not
line. Offensive scrum.
Yep.
George Smith is playing number 8.
Yep.
Picking the ball up from the back of the scrum, giving Gregan a bit of width.
Which is the normal thing when the number 8 picks up the ball, it gives it half more width.
A lot more width to run. And we're seeing George Smith come into that halfback position quite a lot.
Whereas on the defensive scrums, he plays traditional
number seven to be able to get away from the scrum quickly.
Smash the other halfback.
That's right. Which is really interesting, actually, because it's giving the Brumbies a lot more width. And we saw from that second try of Mortlocks, being able to take that width out and attacking their inside centre and fly half channel rather than the fly half scrum channel. It's allowing Mortlock, Gerard to cut back on that angle.
And even
Rathbone, to a lesser extent, who's doing it as well, and really sort of break through that channel with those big, strong guys.
But significantly, Gene Fairbanks, I finally saw what the hell he's in the side for. There's an awful lot of pace and power in that package when he gets some room to go, isn't there?
There is. Okay.
A lot of people disappointed that he scored the first try for the Brumbies when he had Mortlock and Gitto outside of him. A lot of money went downhill on the first try score there.
Yeah, the thing was, that try, I mean, I thought when he ran at them, I was going, oh, fuck, he's botched this. And then he just bang, straight through the
interesting thing on that one is that Mortlock had actually run the inside channel on that. And drawn a number of defenders that would have normally spun a bit wider.
Which is what Mortlock will do.
I think it's actually, it's given the Brumbies a lot of options. His defensive game has been excellent, but, in offense,
he doesn't hurt his shoulder again.
A relatively unassuming fly half who's quite quick, got good hands and a pretty reasonable step on him.
Mm-hmm.
While the defensive line is looking for the Rathbones, the Gerards, and the Mortlocks coming from outside, even Ashley Cooper to a lesser extent, who's a big, fast, strong guy.
If he doesn't drop the ball.
And then all of a sudden it's given to Fairbanks, perhaps one out or two out from where he normally would be standing. It really puts the defensive in their two minds.
If they start marking...
The Brumbies have been doing that a lot, and even George Smith, who's been out there quite a bit in the centres.
Yeah. Well, Smith's
giving them options.
Smith's a reasonably speedy traveller, so he's not a...
Short legs, but he's got a decent burst on him.
But the other thing with Fairbanks, though, is that teams are going to have to start marking him now, and that's going to give more space to other players. So it was a very big game for the Brumbies in that regard, that Gene Fairbanks is now a player to be watched. Not so good for Gene Fairbanks... Quite good for the rest of the team.
I think the Brumbies have been playing a very sensible game. Mm-hmm. They've been really mixing up their running lines from the outside.
I've noticed with the new guys coming in, there's a lot more chips over the top or midfield bombs going into the game that you never would have seen before with
the traditional. Chase.
They don't, but
if you're a midfield bomb, you've got to be on it when it comes down.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. No, they're trying something different, I think.
I don't know so much the new guys as much as new tactics, but...
it was the new guys doing the bombs.
Yeah, well, okay, but...
Interesting. I know why Mortlock and Fairbank went off at half-time, because they were both suffering niggling injuries. And, yeah, fair enough, better to keep them on the bench rather than risk any further.
Especially when you're shutting
chances.
Out the team like
but,
that.
But, you know, look, that's first, okay, the Brumbies had four positional changes in the second half. Okay, mm-hmm. not counting the pack. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had... Gibb go to 5'8". Mm-hmm. Joel Wilson coming inside centre. Ashley Cooper going to outside centre. And Ben Batcher into fullback. And still managed to shut the Reds down. I mean, look what happened with the Reds last week where they made positional changes and then they, you know, go away a whole game. Mm-hmm. It shows a lot of composure from those guys and that they can come on, make the positional changes, still manage to hold the defensive line very tight. And you know, I think it's probably a policy that we criticised early on in the season.
It nearly lost us a game.
It nearly lost us a game.
It lost us a bonus point.
It lost us a bonus point, but it's actually paying off now.
But we said at the time it might come good later in the season, and we'll admit that it is. I would say though, it's
what do we think's wrong with the Reds, guys? Coaching?
Bad coaching.
Yeah, change of coach. Eddie Jones coming in, you think that's going to change
the Eddie Jones is a good coach.
We can't question that. I think, you know...
Maybe they've given up on this season. They're playing for next season.
The Reds don't have the continuity. Mm. Okay, they've had key injuries in their midfield.
Bad teams get more injuries, though.
Okay, bad teams get more injuries. They've had a lot of disruption. And you know, some teams... And I think particularly with the turnover of management and coaches, that they haven't had that continuity and that stability that the team can then build upon.
A lame duck coach is always going to struggle,
isn't it? And bounce back, when you have those disruptive periods.
All right, I think we've done that game to death. Let's move on.
Oh, okay, if we must.
Blues 34, Cheetahs 33.
Speaking of Nusafora.
Yes.
Well, there'd been lots of criticism of Nusafora. You know, the Blues have the biggest, a bit like the Tars in a lot of respects.
All the Stormers.
You know, have some of the best talent in New Zealand rugby. The biggest catchment area. Mm. And a team that's had lots and lots of turnover of coaches.
It's not a rugby playing... look, it's the least rugby playing catchment area of New Zealand, though, to be fair. Yes, there's lots and lots of people in it. And yes, a lot of them are interested in rugby, no question. But compared to the South Island or places like Hamilton, there's...
that's the only thing you can do.
Things like league and things like... things like soccer are more attractive in the Auckland area because it's more cosmopolitan, it's more choice.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the Blues, they've been erratic. They've got all the guns. They can play the game. They did tonight. They did in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a strong performance to shut out the Cheetahs. I didn't watch the game, but it must have been a crack out of it. Any game that's close, it's got to be good one.
The lead changed 5 times during the game.
Yeah, the Cheetahs were bitterly disappointed.
Their kicker missed,
five kicks.
Five kicks.
Yeah, look,
and
if you missed that many, you deserve to lose.
And the Blues kicked all of theirs.
Five from five. So.
Yeah. I think they had McAllister back for this one, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
At fly half. Mm. And I think that was probably the difference to the Blues.
Yeah. I think
I'm ashamed he wasn't there earlier in the season.
I would say Blues Cheetahs is a good harbinger for All Blacks Springboks, frankly. And I think the Kiwis will be
probably indicative, even if it's not the players involved.
No,
but probably an indicative result, yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be lots of Kiwi supporters who would think otherwise.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the Blues are just the archetypal New Zealand side. Yeah. Far more so than the Crusaders.
Yeah.
In terms of what finishes up in the All Blacks and the way the All Blacks plays. Yeah. I think Nusafora has done enough now to keep his job.
I'd like to see him keep his job. I mean, not so much that I like Nusafora, I like the Blues. Mm. I think they're a side that need the continuity.
Yeah.
And they're like the Reds. You have too many changes of management, too many different coaching styles.
Most coaches suck in their first season.
And it's disruptive to the players.
Doesn't matter who the coach is, in their first season they're going to suck. Robbie Deans with the Crusaders, everyone. In their first season, as a rule, and of course there are exceptions, but as a rule, they're going to suck in their first season because they're trying to get the players to do things they haven't done before, and the players aren't going to like it.
Culture. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, look, I think they'll be far more consistent next season.
Mm. Rocafoco got his first try for the year.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that, would you?
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Must have been out a couple of games at any rate.
Yeah.
I think it was a couple, but they just have scoring tries.
If a team isn't doing well, the ball doesn't get to the wings, they don't score tries.
Wow. That man is a try-scoring machine.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I think from the All Blacks' perspective, he got twice as many tries as he played tests at one point.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
I don't know. Wing selection, there probably still is room for him, at least on the bench for the All Blacks this season.
Mm. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Your wings haven't been that outstanding.
Well, look, you're a Lomi Fartel. Shame he plays for Samoa.
Yeah, well,
I see you there.
Yeah, though, the Kiwis have ways and means around these things.
Moving on. Mm-hmm. Bulls 34, Sharks 27 in Pretoria.
Well,
another cracking game.
That's just knocked the Sharks out of the contention for semi-finals.
Yeah, I think the Sharks
you would think so.
I think the Sharks will be happy. Well, they won't be happy. They'll be bitterly disappointed to be out of contention. I think when the Sharks look back on the season, they'll say, that was a good season, let's do better next year.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of positives to take from the season. I mean, it was always going to be a game that was going to make or break either team.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably won't make or break either team. I mean, you expect the Sharks to do over the Stormers this coming week in Durban. But, you know, in terms of finals contention, you know, that both teams had to win all three remaining games to be a serious final four finishing chance.
Mm.
The bonus point win for the Bulls has meant that they remain in contention with the leaders.
They're only
4 points adrift of the Brumbies.
Mm.
So, you know, they've still got a chance if the Brumbies, you know, falter at the end and the Bulls could go through. So, you know, Fortress Loftus, impregnable again, I guess. Except for the Brumbies, who seem to be able to beat them there. Nobody else does.
Thank God for that.
Yes. Well, yeah, if the Brumbies hadn't won that match... Well, the Warriors had won that match. A lot of other things would have panned out differently. Yeah. So
I think much higher scoring than game than a lot of people would have expected from these two teams.
Mm. Yeah. Did the Bulls actually do anything with the ball?
They stomped it up the middle and they smashed people.
That's right. Mm. And the Sharks tried the same.
Mm. Yeah.
They just got stomped a little bit more.
Yeah, they did. The Sharks have been bitching and moaning about that, haven't they?
Yeah.
They cited Venter.
Yeah,
and for South Africans to cite other South Africans.
Who would have thought? Hey?
Yeah, well, they're a little soft on the coast.
He got off, though.
Mm.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the Bulls, they got a chance of going through. I mean, if the Sharks had won, I think they would have felt a little more comfortable about their chance of making finals.
Yeah.
But the Bulls have two hard games to come in, the Crusaders and the...
The
Stormers in Cape Town, of course, resurgent Stormers. But, you know, there's a chance there. And I think it's good for South African rugby to see that both these two teams perform and they'll dominate Springbok selections.
Yeah, I think for all the South Africans...
With the exception of Tony Brown, of course.
For all the doom and gloom... Tony Brown broke both his hands.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
Okay, forget it. See you later, Sharks.
He broke both his hands.
How do you do that?
He broke both his hands and told the coach he wanted to go back out on the field in the second half, and the coach said, like, how the hell are you going to catch the ball?
I don't need to catch, I just need to
catch it. No matter how the hell are you going to tackle anyone?
He just needs to be able to go out there and kick the ball. That's his job.
You know, he still has to catch it.
No, I mean, Tony Brown has been the sort of link between a fairly solid Stormers forward pack and, you know, the back line that's been performing.
Mm.
And you need that in your fly half. He's done well for them.
Yeah. All right, next game, the upset of the round, and nobody saw this one coming. Stormers 28, Crusaders 17.
Except, you know, I might point out Katina did pick this one. I don't know why. I don't know what's going through her head there.
She got it right.
She got it right. And I suspect she's one of very few people, you know, claim anywhere who managed to tip that one, except really sort of one-eyed Stormers supporters.
I would say
even they would have been hand on heart going, "Oh, please win."
While I did tip the Crusaders, I also raised the red flag last week. I said, not playing McCaw because you were scared he'd get hurt.
Well, it wasn't just McCaw. They weren't playing McCaw. They weren't playing Leon McDonald, and they weren't playing Daniel Carter.
Yeah.
Now, this is the second week McCaw hasn't played, and they've come away with a draw and a loss.
Mm.
A bit telling there.
Now, normally it's your fly half, not your breakaways.
Well, McCaw does a lot for them, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, look, really great, really good performance by the Stormers. Leading, I think they're buoyed by, I mean, they were
16-3 at halftime.
Or yeah, they were the best performing team on the Asia Pacific tour, even better than the Sharks.
Yeah.
And you know, to go home buoyed, probably got the boot up them before they left and said, you know, you guys need to perform or we're going to sort of send you all back to second grade.
Well,
maybe
they are the best credentialed and the highest paid side in South Africa. They were always going to unleash it on someone. The Brumbies were lucky to get away with the draw. And the Crusaders have copped it of all people.
strange happenings.
Yeah, it's an odd game, and the Crusaders going down, and now the Crusaders having to go to Loftus, which was the last game they lost.
That's true.
And McCall got knocked out in that game.
You think it's just complacency by the Crusaders? I mean, look, they were... Before 2 weeks ago, we were saying, oh, Crusaders, undefeated season, they'll go through, home final, you know, 96-19 over the Tars again.
Yeah.
I still reckon we should flag the possibility there's money changing hands around these places.
You think so?
I don't.
In Cape Town?
Yeah, in Cape Town maybe, but I just don't see the Crusaders players doing
that.
No,
I don't. There's been too much of that. I mean, there's been that in the past, and I think they're pretty...
Yeah, but
very cautious about those sorts of things.
Maybe Auckland, but yeah, not like a South Island team.
They're too serious about their rugby. Could you imagine that in the bloody, you know, Christchurch press? Yeah, Crusaders strike game for money. They'd be lynched if they got over
to stay in South Africa.
They'd be asking for asylum.
That's right. They'd be the Southern Crusaders.
They wouldn't be going home.
That's right. But look, strong performance by the Stormers, and it's about bloody time.
Yeah,
Crusaders.
The big men from Cape Town just stomped
Crusaders
through.
Complacent. That's all you can say. You know, they should have.
Well,
they should have won this game, and they didn't.
Let's just hope they can keep that complacency up for another three.
Hang on. There is a little point here though that if you're tactically worried about your forwards being dominated, you don't rest your best forward, and expect to win the game.
No. I think this is almost a let's go for the field goal or kick. Touchline kind of decision in a game, and not go for the bonus point here. The Crusaders were in a position where they could guarantee themselves a home final and semi-final and grand final, and now they it's in doubt.
They could even finish third.
And there's a chance. Yeah. There's a chance they could finish fifth.
Yes, there is a chance they could finish fifth.
It's a slim chance. Mm. It's a slim chance, but they could finish fifth. And the if the Brummies, could. They've got the Bulls
at Loftus, and then they're playing the Brumbies who'll need to win at Jade. They could lose the rest of the season.
I mean, that would put them in... it depends what bonus points they pick up, of course, which
they need. Basically, they need two bonus points to ensure their place.
I mean, and that's probable. They should pick up 2 points for the remaining two games.
I would say if we're talking about them losing both games... Then I would say they'll get one bonus point out of those if they lose both those games.
Yeah, so it's possible. If they get
one bonus point out of the next two games, and the Bulls get a difference of 130 points
with two bonus point wins.
Okay,
so it's not likely.
If they lose both those games, it's quite easy for them to lose them without a bonus point.
Correct.
That's right.
Like they did this week.
Yeah,
bonus points this week.
That's right. But I mean, they could find themselves dropping to third or fourth position and giving up that home semi advantage.
They're playing two finals contenders. I mean, the Stormers aren't even finals contenders. They got beat. Now, sure, it's South Africa, everything's weird, but they played not even contenders and got beat. They're playing two contenders at the last two games of the season. The alarm bells have got to be ringing in Christchurch.
I think so. And Crusaders fans should be rightly worried at this stage. Their tactic, they're resting those players at this time, got to be questioned.
Mm.
Well, and maybe they were rested because they've got two finals contenders coming up.
Mm.
But... You know,
but that's coming off a draw against the Force, so we're not talking about a one-off. We're talking two. Every team's had a bad week. Every team's had a bad week in this competition. Brumbies have had a couple of bad weeks. The Waratahs have had some bad weeks.
Yeah,
but 2 weeks in a row at this stage of the season.
I think you're going to think about it, and you know, I'm amazed that those guys at least weren't even selected on the bench.
Yeah, so they can be brought on.
I think if you've got your guns, if you want to rest them, you have a rotation policy. Sit them on the bench so if they're there if you need them.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what Robbie Deans is thinking.
Yeah. And the other point is that, okay, sure, they're there on the bench, so you don't want to bring them on, but you're talking about guys who haven't played that much rugby on the field. Give them 80 minutes. Well, you know, don't sub them because they're not getting that much game time.
That's right. I think the Crusaders should be worried. And you know, the other three top teams, okay, Waratahs, Brumbies, and Hurricanes. I think, you know, they're probably rubbing their hands with glee here, going, well, you know, there's an opportunity here, and we can grab a home semi.
Having said that, the Waratahs might lose next.
They might. I wouldn't expect them to.
I wouldn't expect them to, but, you know, we didn't expect the Storms to be either.
The dull lights of Cowtown. Mm. Anyway, let's go to a song, guys. We'll come back with some general discussion.
That was Hollywood by Bubble.
Yeah, a couple of things I wanted to bring up tonight. Friday night games versus Saturday night games. So it came out in the paper for the Waratahs the other week that they're upset about having all Friday night games this year and because their crowd numbers are down. Whereas I reckon the Brumbies, who traditionally had more Friday night games, are now playing on Saturdays. Their crowds have been down. We've been lucky to get 17,000 this year because of the Saturday night games. Now, I think if two swap around...
Everyone be happy?
Yes. Oh, okay, what does this say about Brumbies Friday night games? We're going to get less players. Less people turn up.
I think we get more people on at a Friday night game than we do for a Saturday.
Where are you, Brumbies fans?
Yeah.
You know, we've had very few 20,000 games.
Yeah, well, it was a Friday night game. Yeah, the highest number this year.
To be fair, it had been pissing down with rain all day on Saturday.
The last 2 weeks we've been lucky to get 17,000.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is, last one...
The Canes game was bloody freezing.
Canes game was freezing, and the Reds game, it had been pissing with rain all day, and it was packed under cover, and if you didn't have seats for the stand, people didn't want to turn up because they thought they were going to get rained on. Mm-hmm. And you can say that makes ACT fans soft, but we saw the crowd in Otago, there was hardly anyone there.
That's true. That was really pissing down.
Though. Yeah. So it's not just that ACT fans
turned up because they were paid to.
Yeah,
I still reckon we get better crowds for a Friday night
games in
the ACT.
Yeah, but night games in winter are a stretch. In Australia, we get away with it. In New Zealand, they bitch and moan bitterly about it, and with good reason, because it gets really bloody cold at night. In America, outdoor games of football in winter, sure, it's snowing, but they play during the day when there's a chance of some sunshine. You know, so night games are always going to stretch the fans' patience with the conditions.
The interesting thing I have noticed this season and about the Brumbies crowd is they've been far more subdued than in previous seasons. Now, I'm not sure...
I'm blaming that on Saturdays as well.
No, I blame it on the women turning up for the games.
Okay. I'm going to blame it on the fact that we didn't perform particularly well last season and Canberra crowd's been particularly fickle. Not turning up.
But I don't think
the Reds ran out and there was nothing.
Yep.
Okay. We still had no boos, no cheers, no nothing. It was just like dead quiet.
Dead quiet.
And that might be a little psychological.
I think that put the Reds off. We don't even care. You're not worth the boo.
Turns out we were right.
Did they know that we were out here?
It's been, you know, I've noticed, you know, they're not the traditional Brumbies chants. We've had in previous seasons.
Now,
well, I'm not because I've got an eight-year-old.
I was going to say, I blame what's happened in Bay 68. Okay, so,
you know, I haven't been able to sort of scream my lungs out.
Yeah, but you know, we used to be a significant factor in the
abusing
Brumbies.
Abusing the ref
and abusing the opposition players when the crowd was described as the rudest crowd in world rugby. They were referring largely to our group of friends. And, you know, we don't all sit there anymore, and those that do have got wives there who shout, who hit them if they say bad words in front of the kids. So,
I don't think what we need to do is, I was thinking about this on Saturday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I might get a megaphone and a pre-recorded Brumbies chant. Mm-hmm. Just like... sit it on the edge of the pitch.
I don't think we need that. But I do think it's worth mentioning that
the
pre-game warm-up for the games is done by a bunch of radio dickheads who carry on like a bunch of cocks, and the crowd has no interest in what they're doing. That's not the crowd's fault. That's the cocks who are the pre-game warm-ups.
We're sick of Brumby Jack now.
Brumby Jack's not the problem. It's the fuckwits trying to warm the crowd up who are just shit at it. They're the problem.
So we need more dancing girls.
No, it's not dancing girls.
We need the choir out there singing.
The choir was a reasonable warm-up. It was something. And every now and then the crowd would join in. As it is, they have them outside the stadium now, but that's not the same thing, especially for all of us who come in through the eastern side and never see them. But the big thing is that, I mean, when we went to Christchurch to watch the final a few years ago.
2003, yeah.
That crowd was in a state of mass hypnosis by the time the players came on with the warm-ups.
So what do we need to do? Just chase a bunch of wild horses onto the pitch?
I'm not saying chase a bunch of wild horses, but...
We have suggested that before, though.
Yeah, but music, for a start. They need a piece of music that's recognisably theirs, that plays throughout the warm-up, so that
it builds,
and in people's minds, they know at each stage, at each beat, we're getting closer and closer and closer. Whereas as it is, we've got a bunch of knobs carrying on like knobs, and so the crowd comes into it cold, because who cares about a bunch of FM disc jockeys?
Yeah, we need a piece of nice operatic, music that sort of builds.
That'd be
powerful.
That'd be ripping a riff off the Crusaders. There are other things we could do, but let's steal a successful riff if need be, because what we've got isn't working.
No.
And the crowd's nowhere near as enthusiastic as they were a few years ago. That's not a crowd size thing, because, I mean, we can remember going there for crowds of 5,000. Particularly when Eddie Jones was starting, they were losing and they were redeveloping the ground at the same time. So 17,000 is not a bad crowd, 17,000 is enough a crowd to work with, but the crowd's sitting there pretty unentertained by what's going on.
Yeah, it would seem so. I mean, it's one thing, I'm watching the game on the pitch and getting sort of shocked in that, but then it's something else that gets people going when it's down.
Mm.
We don't want to give away our Fortress Court, Fortress Canberra reputation.
It's not like we've lost at home this season either, so.
No, we're not maintaining a nice record there.
The other thing on the night I noticed was they had the Rod McQueen Cup out on a nice table.
That was bloody shiny, wasn't it?
And I reckon some of the boys had money on who could actually hit the cup with a kick.
They did have a few
There was a few goes. I saw Gerard have two, and the Reds had at least one go at it.
They had a couple of kicks out
of it. Where I was sitting, we were talking about it, and it's nice to see what you're playing for on the sideline. I think that's a good
touch. And I do wonder how many beers that thing holds.
Well, I'm sure that was experimental.
It holds one beer. Just one very large one
beer. But the other thing about it is that if the trophy gets, it's not a glass trophy, it's a big silver thing. If it gets some dings in it from the football kicking it when it's being played for,
I'm sure when it ends up at the bottom of the club at 4 o'clock in the morning after they've gone through two
they'll
kegs.
They'll blame it, yeah.
Kicked around on the floor, what the hell's that?
Yeah.
But no, I think it's... If the trophy takes some damage and it's not going to break, if it takes some damage from the ball hitting it, And that's part of building its heritage and its pastiche.
Yes. Yeah. The ball was falconed in 2006 by so-and-so.
Yeah.
That's a thing there.
Now, the other story that's hitting the news is Sydney media jumping on the idea that the Brumbies are going to leave Canberra and go to Melbourne.
And the Brumbies CEO pouring petrol on this fire in his comments, I have to say, though.
He didn't come out saying, completely denying it, is what you really looking at.
Saying. Yeah, but his phrasing was very careful, and it was saying...
because he's management. He uses weasel words. They can't not use weasel words. Can you understand that?
But the weasel words he was using were such to suggest that, please back the truck of money up here, and we'll do a deal.
Yeah.
That's the message that you read into what he was saying.
What actually the go is that the Brumbies are controlled by... the ACT Rugby Union. Now, that is controlled by the 8 senior clubs of rugby clubs of the ACT, and can't do anything without those clubs voting on it. So, and those clubs know that having the Brumbies here is the best thing for ACT rugby. If the Brumbies left, those ACT rugby would disappear.
Well, it wouldn't disappear.
They would lose significant income.
They would lose massive, especially in terms of junior players wanting to come through.
And right, people coming to their clubs and spending money on their pokies. They would lose massive income. And they're not, that's not going to happen. It's just too big a commercial issue.
It's obviously been spawned by the Gitto. You know, one and a half.
The financial pressures of the Gitto thing.
The financial pressures of that. And there's been lots of stuff in the press about, you know, is he just a marquee player and deserves that income? You know, what's going to happen to these other guys?
You can tell
some more fringe players. Yeah, Johnny going over there. You know, possibly Huxley, Drew Mitchell's another one in the press at the moment.
Yeah, I'd say Roger Hampson,
could be going there. If we look at it more broadly and say, you know, what's the impact on how players shift around the clubs? Mm. Now, the ARU are rightly concerned about this. Okay, they want to see... they don't want to see two teams. They don't want to see a Perth team and a Sydney team where the corporate dollars are.
Mm.
Okay.
There's plenty of corporate dollars in Brisbane too.
Okay, the corporate dollars in Brisbane, they probably don't want to see the Brumbies shift to Melbourne. My reasoning for that is because there's a good, strong junior program in the Brumbies.
Yeah.
Okay, where that doesn't exist in Melbourne.
Yeah.
All right, now fine, yeah, there's probably the corporate dollars to maintain a team in Melbourne. No question, you know, that's why Melbourne put in a bid for. But if we look at sort of maintaining what's effectively four viable teams, and that's probably the ARU.
They play tests in Melbourne. They don't play tests in Canberra.
Well, only because they, you know, it's probably trying to attract the dollars. It's a commodity. They want to market it as best they can, but they want to be able to maintain four viable teams. If we have two viable teams, it's no good. We had two viable teams. Well, we had one viable team for several years.
It's the difference between viable and successful.
I'm thinking successful. If you want four teams that are roughly even in comparison.
There are wet dreamers 1, 2, 3, 4 on the ladder. So
of course it is. Yeah. You know, and all within 5 points of each other.
Yeah. Whereas my wet dream is 1, 2, 3 in the Waratahs in 14th.
You know, okay.
When I have that dream, it gets messy.
They want financially viable teams, but they also want teams that are able to compete with each other. And they want these local derbies where they're going to get their main interest
from. The last thing they want is the Reds running out to no sound at all from the crowd at Canberra.
That's right. They want teams, you know, that want to maintain these traditional rivalries. You know, the Queensland Tars, the Brumbies Tars, Brumbies Queensland, perhaps to a lesser extent. You know, they're obviously hoping that the Force will get one of those big local derby kind of feels about those games.
Mm.
And they want to, you know, you don't... people don't want to go and watch a side get a 96-point drubbing every time they turn up against one of the other local provinces.
Oh, I'd pay to see the Waratahs get another 96-point drubbing.
Yeah, but you won't. Okay, you won't get many Tars supporters turning out to that game.
No, that's true.
Okay, and I think that's what the ARU were rightly trying to do. I mean, they brought the Force in to develop more players, right? And for suddenly having, you know, moving provinces around, or having, you know, the Force and the Tars being the only two teams that can afford all the talent, you know, what do you got? You've got guys, you know, a 15 strong Wallaby starting lineup, seven players on the bench that are also Wallabies players, and the guys in the other provinces, well, you know, let's forget about them. They're mostly club representatives.
But hang on, there is the point here that's still to be had is that the Brumbies have still, I believe, the best development program in Australian rugby, although the Waratahs have certainly caught up in a big way. So the more players that leave the Brumbies and go to the Force means the more players fitting into the Brumbies development program. So that's a win-win for the ARU.
Yeah, it could be.
Gitto's always going to be a talent available to select. Although, look at the way Hanjak's fallen to pieces out west.
Yeah, there was an interesting email on Inside Rugby, actually, saying of all the players, all the top Wallaby players that have gone to the Force, Hanjak, Sharp, Cannon, have gone over there, they're all sort of number one or two or three in their position, and now certainly aren't. Yeah. So that's going to be an issue for them. But no, I don't begrudge them sort of throwing money at Gitto to take him across. Fine, off you go. Disappointed to see him go, obviously, because he's a local boy. And we would have loved to have seen him play. In fact, look, let's pick someone else. If he wasn't a man of Gitto's talents, but he was still a local fella, we would have said, we still want to keep you.
Yeah, anyway, I think it's going to be interesting how it plays out. Certainly this Brumbies to Melbourne push, I think what is now calling itself the Brumbies organisation, I get the feeling really wants to move to Melbourne, and I think they're trying to create a sense of inevitability with which they can try and sandbag the clubs.
The only way they can do it is if the Brumbies become unviable financially, whereby the ARU has to step in and say, right, you cannot maintain.
Yeah, sure. But I think the Brumbies organisation, the current Brumbies management, I think the local clubs need to be getting in there and kicking heads and...
Getting their faces in the press and saying, no, there's no chance of this happening because we will not let it happen.
They need to be kicking asses and taking names and sacking people, because at the moment the Brumbies organisation is giving a very good impression that they are hell-bent on engineering circumstances in which they can be moved to Melbourne.
And I think it would be very disappointing for the...
The game
in Australia.
Yeah.
Just
mind you,
I'm certainly for us, because I'm certainly not going to bloody fly down to Melbourne every weekend.
I'm not going to start supporting the Tars.
Yeah.
I'll still support the Brumbies.
I think
because I like the way they play the game.
I think lacrosse might be an interesting game to pursue. Wait for the lacrosse podcast coming soon.
Should we move to the beer review? Competition,
yes.
Bocce.
Now, as Timbo and I both have colds tonight, we're not drinking, which really sucks.
As if you can't tell from the coughs and stuff.
Actually, I had a little cough and sympathy earlier. But I, on the other hand, am drinking the best beer of all.
The free beer.
I've gone down to the refrigerator in the house.
It doesn't really matter what it is.
There was a six-pack of Cooper's Sparkling Ale, and I said, hello, I'll be having that.
Hello, my friend. How are you? tell us about Cooper's Sparkling Ale.
It is a bottle-conditioned ale, so it has a lot of yeast and sediment in it. Oh, look at all that flying around. Mm-hmm. It's a bit revolting, actually, to look at. And
that's why it's in the brown bottle, mate.
I'm sure it sparkles when you pour it out.
Note to self, whenever you buy a beer in a brown bottle, it's probably a lot of crap in it.
No. I mean, normally Australian domestic lagers come in the brown bottles, and they're not like this, because they're not bottle conditioned, they're vat conditioned. Which means, for those who don't brew their own beer, they have the last stage of the fermentation has happened in the bottle with an extra little bit of sugar after it's sat in the vat.
So, and the effect of that is?
You generally get a better quality beer as a result.
With all the extra sediment.
You do get the extra sediment as well.
So is this a decanting beer?
No, well...
You run it through a little tea filter or something?
Actually, if you go to a good bar, as opposed to most bars, and order a Cooper's, they will roll it for you to make sure the sediment is evenly distributed throughout the beer.
That's a tip, okay. That's a tip, punters.
Yes, so roll your Coopers, although I didn't roll these, to be honest.
You probably won't find that King O'Malley's or PJ's, I would expect.
If you get a good barman there, maybe, but then again, you're paying $5.
I'm paying $5, I want them to roll more beer.
Yeah. There's something we do to rip the top off, otherwise you bastards.
Chili's always makes the effort.
Yes, Chili's make the effort, which is a lesbian bar in Canberra that we like for reasons that are... passing understanding at this point.
They let you take dogs there, so...
Yes, that's it. And they roll your Coopers.
Ooh, yeah, let's leave it. Let's touch that one. Anyway.
They roll the Coopers.
The Cooper, it is a yeasty beer, as you'd expect with all the sediment. It's tasty. There's an old joke about you drinking a lamb chop and when you drink a Coopers. And one of Australia's oldest breweries. And
independent.
I prefer their pale ale to their sparkling myself.
What's this worth for a six pack? Well, obviously we don't know.
Casey's $45.
This one was free, so yeah, it's up there.
Yeah.
That's up there, not cheap.
It's not cheap.
A couple of weeks, every once in a while, you'll find them on special for $13 for a six pack.
But I have $13 for a case, I'll have one of those.
No. Well, we can but wish. Anyway, let's go to a song.
Yay! That was Shotgun Loudmouth by Battery Life. Now, while we were having a little break, a little ad break there, not that we actually have any ads yet, but never mind, we were speculating whether a heavy spirit would be good for the throat if you've got a cold, and we're trying it out anyway. So we have a Slanter here, which a Tasmanian one, what was it called, John? It's from the Light Distillery. Okay. It's similar to Drambuie. Drambuie is a Slanter. That's S-L-A-I-N-T-E. Yeah, and I bought this down in Hobart, and the Light Distillery is on the docks there, well worth a visit. Staff know what they're talking about.
Yeah, should you find yourself in Tasmania, and in this case I think it's actually worth a visit just for this one.
Yeah.
Tasmania has many other charms, but this would be a hidden one, in my view. This is exceptionally good, and my, you know, it's got that nice warming feeling.
Yeah. Tastes like honey and aniseed, I would say.
Yeah, it's a slight touch of aniseed. There's something else in there I can't quite
There's pepper berry in there.
That's probably what it is. Like, you know, my nose is exceptionally blocked, so.
Yeah, and
I've had it a few times and it should clear it up a bit.
No, it's driving. I got had the Vicks on my face last night and couldn't be able to get anything out of that either.
Yeah. Oh. So what you need is good alcohol.
Yeah, that's what it needs.
Yeah.
That's what it needs. This is an exceptional one. No idea what a bottle's worth, I hate to think.
No, not that bad. About $30.
Okay, well, that's pretty good. It's quite reasonable.
Yeah, that's very reasonable.
Yeah.
Right, let's go on with the round.
But only available in Tassie.
Yes, or on the internet. If you look up the Light Distillery on the internet, I would recommend their pepperberry gin, and their single malt is also excellent.
Oh, lovely, lovely. All right, let's go to the round ahead, eh?
Hurricanes versus Reds in Wellington.
Reds coming off a strong performance against the Brumbies. And the Hurricanes, erratic form. I think this has got to put the game... War pretty firmly in the Hurricanes park here. They're going to have to come up with a strong performance to take this one away.
I don't think there's any sane human being who could possibly tip the Reds in these circumstances.
Well, but we're talking about the Crusaders' fourth there, weren't we?
Crusaders' fourth.
We were, but I think this would be an equal boil over. I don't think lightning strikes twice.
No, look, Crusaders too strong across the park for the Reds.
Hurricanes.
Hurricanes. Them too.
pretty much anyone except the Cats, really.
this is going to my head already.
Well, I'm going the Canes. Katina's going the Canes.
I think we're all going the Canes, really.
Alrighty.
I'm going the Canes for sure.
Okay. The deciding match of what could be a very, very, very crucial match for so many people around the Southern Hemisphere. Bulls versus Crusaders in Pretoria. Will the big men from the high veld stomp and crush and maim as many Crusaders as they can?
Until last week, the only game the Crusaders had lost out of about 30 matches was against the Bulls in Pretoria. It's particularly bad luck for the Crusaders to get two seasons in a row where they have to go to Loftus.
They didn't last year, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. I don't know how that's worked out. It must be
it's a transition to the Super 14.
Yeah.
So
my money's on the Bulls. I think the Crusaders...
We all want the Bulls to win this.
We want the Bulls to win because there's a freaky chance that the Crusaders could get knocked out of the final four, which would be brilliant. Okay, and the Bulls have to win. Mm-hmm. In fact, we'd just be a big snub to all the Christchurch Crusaders people.
Who we quite like.
But yeah. They're okay. I like to see the team get flogged for a change.
Yeah. Or bomb out of the finals.
That'd be priceless.
Yes.
Robbie Deans wouldn't be going home after that, would he?
Yeah. Taking that flight straight to Europe and saying, does anybody want me as a coach?
I have a very good record.
I was quite good.
But let's face it, look, we're all taking a bit of a chance here. We'd love to see the Bulls stomp and maim.
It's the Bulls at home with everything to play for.
They've only lost one game there.
Coming off form, this isn't a sentimental tip.
It will be a close game, I think. It'll probably be the match of the round.
But you look at recent form, and it's, you just can't say otherwise than the Bulls over the Crusaders. And 3 weeks ago, you couldn't imagine saying that. But that's how it is.
Yeah, I think even for the Crusaders, this is a bit of a must win for them in order for them to secure a home semi. Because if they don't, they could miss out.
Yeah.
They could miss out. All right, next game up. Chiefs, Waratahs in Hamilton.
Okay, now will the dim lights of Cowtown...
I don't think the Waratahs are pretty boring as it is.
The natural boring state of the Waratahs.
Well, consider their stoic, boring defence. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think they'll be too fussed by this one.
No, I think the Tars will slug it out.
I think the Tars will be comfortable.
Unfortunately, yes, the Tars. Much as I'd love to see the Chiefs get up and crash them.
Yeah, no, I've got to tip the Tars at the end of the day.
Yeah, comfortably for me. We should have said Katina's tipping here.
Yes.
Katina's tipped the same as us. Canes, Bulls and Tars as well.
Yeah, we've been very boring so far.
It's all going to be the same. I mean, probably the Crusaders. I mean, there's only a couple of games this week that you would think are going to tip one way or the other. And Crusaders, Bulls,
Crusaders,
Stormers.
I've got to say, I wonder who the bookies think are going to get up between the Bulls and Crusaders. I mean, there could be some money to be made.
Well, it could be. We didn't look it up before we started. So let's just
keep
moving.
I think Greece plays. I mean, the money would be on the...
The money's going to be
on the Crusaders. I'll expect.
I've got to have the odds. Mm. All right, Brumbies Highlanders in Canberra, Fortress Canberra.
Brumbies for me.
Brumbies.
Yeah, Highlanders don't seem to have much to be going with. The scrum will be very interesting, though.
Yeah, it'll be good. Another good test for the
Could be
Brumbies scrum.
The weather could affect it a bit.
But Otago used to. I'm thinking more. Chest got to throw at him.
Yeah, I'm thinking more that the Brumbies haven't played in rain.
Yeah, look, it's only Monday.
We've been dry for the last 6 weeks.
This weather isn't going to stay as wet as it has been over the last couple of days.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see, actually. I mean, if it's wet, you're probably going to give the Highlanders a better chance. What will be interesting to see is whether Mortlock and Fairbanks can recover in time.
I think they'll be fine with precautions. Fisher's said that he thinks they'll be right.
Obviously, still very early in the week.
But they were rested as a precautionary measure.
The Highlanders didn't have any injuries from last weekend, I don't think.
Oh, they're still missing Evans.
Well, he was out for the season. Yeah. I mean, he's been, we said before, without him, they're lost.
Really don't know where they're going on the field.
Now, you'd think in all of New Zealand, with all those young men so keen on their rugby, that Otago could get 2 by halves.
Apparently not.
Cheetahs versus Force in the Kimberley.
Oh, my God. It's like the opposite of the irresistible force meeting the immovable object, isn't it? Now, Katina wanted to tip a draw, but wants a fallback on her draw tip. How are we going
to...
Geez,
you'd have to be... I think you'd bonus points if you tip a draw, wouldn't you?
Oh, okay.
If she...
No, she's not tipping a draw. She said Cheetahs.
She said Cheetahs. She wants a fallback.
Fallback? You can't have fallback.
Exactly. I'm
going to tip the Bulls. Better play. No, we don't want to tip the Crusaders.
Okay. All right. She's been with the Cheetahs. In future, we'll discuss that if you tip a draw, you get what? Quadruple points?
Quadruple what? Oh, that'd be...
What, 4 points?
Tempted. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Cheetahs Force. Here we go, guys. Katina's going with the Cheetahs. Confident that they're going to maintain their losing form.
I'll go the Cheetahs.
They got to go the Cheetahs.
Well, I reckon the Force have got the goods here. I don't know why, okay, but I've tipped them all season. They're going to go again.
You've been a bit of a Force fancier all season.
I don't know. Well, they've got Gitto, mate. They're going to win.
The ode to Gitto.
Ode to Gitto. That's right. They've got to prove some form before he gets over there.
Or is it the Esprit de Gitto?
Esprit de Gitto? Could be. All right, Sharks Stormers. This one's obviously going to be a close game. I think Sharks Stormers coming off a good win. Still Sharks Tony up Brown a loss, out. But Tony Brown out and
2 broken hands.
Could be close.
Well, I'm still going to go the Sharks. They're playing at home. They're in form. The Stormers have played their grand final. That was
the Stormers grand final.
You reckon they're
done? Yeah.
Well, I'm going the Stormers.
Okay, I'm going to pick the Stormers as well.
Basically, because I couldn't really decide between the two, and I think the team can take down the Crusaders then.
The team with the fly half with hands is always a...
Well, Tony Brain will be out there, running around the pitch, dropping every ball.
But he'll be kicking the goals.
He will. I think DeWitt will crunch him. Yeah. All right, come on.
And Katina's going.
I don't even know who the Sharks' backup fly half is. It's probably Percy.
In fact, they did move Percy into the position, and...
They lost.
No?
And they put somebody else in... I can't remember who they put into fullback.
He of the gold boots.
Yes.
Mm. All right, come on, last game of the round. Cats, Blues.
Tip, no, rule number one, never tip the Cats.
This would be a good winning. This would be a good road trip for the Blues, wouldn't it? You know, winning all their games away.
Yeah. In South Africa. Yeah. The fact they're playing the Cats.
Yes. You know. Oh, it's always a good one to have away, isn't it?
In fact, if you actually looked at the Blues season, they should have had a fairly easy run of it because they had hard games at home. And they should have pulled those off, but they didn't.
Oh, they did, mate. They beat the Brumbies.
Yeah, they didn't do anybody else, though. That's true. And they've had some easy games away in South Africa. So, yes,
I think losing McAllister a lot early in the season was tough for them. They've got him back now. They'll win again.
But, yeah, Blues will get up.
Yeah, Blues across the park, I think, John.
Yep. We're all for the Blues.
Katina's gone Blues as well. I mean, that's going to... won't be too much different from last week's results. After last week, Rob on 51, John on 49. I picked up 5 to come back even with Rob on 51 and Katina on 48.
Only one to pick the Stormers.
Only one to pick the Stormers. Probably the only person in the Southern Hemisphere to pick the Stormers.
Yes, Ben. So you got it?
But
Outside of South Africa.
Outside of South Africa. you know, it'll be close. We're about 2 weeks away from the end of the season and then finals. But it's shaping up quite nicely.
We've all got our fingers crossed, seeing if we can pick up a home grand final for the Brumbies and the Crusaders out of the four.
Yeah, Crusaders out of the four, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
I don't think anyone predicted a Crusaders form slump at the end of the season.
No, because traditionally they slump at the beginning.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Okay, they could bounce back against them.
Yes, when they inject their star players back into the starting lineup.
Oh, no, they've got depth, remember? They've got depth across the park. Mm. Apparently not. All right.
No one has that much depth.
I think tune in next week.
Feedback to rugby at the-riotact.com. You can leave the cough out. And, if you send us an email, we'll read it into the podcast because we're desperate for content.
Obviously.
Anybody who wants to do some advertising, get in touch with us as well.
If you want to see your beer featured in Beer of the Week.
Yes, all those distillers that are listening this evening. Mm-hmm. Or today, or tomorrow, or whatever day it is,
friends of distillers, email rugby@the-riotact.com and we will feature your beer if you give it to us.
That's right. We'll talk crap about whatever stuff you send us.
We might slag it off, but only if it's bad. If you believe in your product,
If it's Melbourne better, it's going down.
All VB. All right. We'll tune in next week and you can listen to us again. All buggers.
Good night.
Good night.
Have a good one.